Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome again to Circles of Change, and it's a real pleasure to have in the studio today a fellow colleague in organizational development work, Lynn Moran. Lynn, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
You bet. Well, thanks for driving down from Phoenix as well.
It's a great drive.
Yeah, it was a great drive and quick. Not as many people on the road this morning?
No, it was pretty empty.
Excellent. I love it. Well, let me introduce Lynn. She's a business advisor, certified coach, and currently CEO of Sonoran Life Transition and Performance Coaching, as well as the co-founder of Arizona Coaching and Consulting Center. Lynn spent 26 years working for Mars Incorporated, where she developed broad-based business skills via human resources, sales, and licensing. And in 1999, Lynn was promoted to president of Ethel M. Chocolates, Mars's boutique gourmet confectionery business and retail direct-to-consumer company. Under her leadership, the brand was repositioned, repackaged, and expanded product reach and presence via event marketing and partnering with high-visible retailers. After retiring from Mars, Lynn moved into a leadership position with Russ Berry, the stuffed animal collectible company, as Senior Vice President of Sales and Officer of the company before starting her own coaching company. She has a BS in Business Administration from Centurion College and an MBA from Farley Dickinson University. She's a professionally trained coach, a CHADD parent-to-parent trainer, and Six Sigma Green Belt. She's actively philanthropically on the Institute of Advancement of ADHD Coaching and the Southwest Job Network boards. So Lynn now serves as an advisor to CEOs and senior leaders, plus works with individuals, teams, and companies to help them achieve their greatest level of leadership effectiveness and business performance. Well, welcome to the world of solopreneurship. How are you doing so far?
I love it. There's nothing like being your own boss.
Yeah, is that right?
And the good news is that you get to implement everything you believe. And then you're held accountable. So when you walk into a business, you're also living the life that you're asking others to do, which is make the decision, learn from the results, and then make the change.
Yeah, that's right. Lynn, was starting your own business something you always thought you would do, kind of post the corporate thing?
I don't know if I always did. In my younger days when I was moving through Mars and, you know, really learning a lot, I was into the corporate. And then I think you get to a place in your life where it's, I have all this knowledge, all this experience. What do I want to do with it? Mm-hmm. And I felt that the time was right. So it was not only kind of in the back of my mind, let's say, as I spent the last 5 to 8 years at Mars, but also believing that life is a journey. And I didn't want to just retire. I'm not a golfer. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to start giving back and sharing a lot of what I learned, because Mars is a very powerful company, a very great training company, and an excellent place to work. So I felt that it's now or never. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of a natural evolution, but I can't say I always had the burning desire.
Your career path at Mars is an interesting one, because I mentioned your 2 degrees, but actually you got those after you had started working there full time in an entry level position.
Correct. When you were mentioning about working with people in their careers and as they're looking to make change, I got hired into Mars. I didn't meet any of their criteria. I hadn't finished my degree and I had no sales experience. So I
think you even told me that everybody was telling you, well, you'll never get a job.
Correct.
There.
Everybody except my husband. I have to say he was a supporter, and he kept looking at me and going, so why not? So I thought, you know what? If I can talk my way in there, then it's the career I should be in. Mm-hmm. So I interviewed, did not get the first job. They called me about 6 months later and said, come back in. We want to talk to you. And so that began my path. I started as a trainee with the company, working in a territory, servicing grocery stores, drug stores, just building candy displays, and then worked my way up through the organization, got my undergrad at night, my MBA on weekends.
Yes, that's great. But, you know, in some regard, I think all of us as young kids probably always said, oh, if I could go work for Mars. You know, the love we have of candy and how we, you know, at least in my day, it was a nickel candy bar. Not the case now.
I remember those days. And a quarter for the movies.
A quarter for the movies, yeah. Okay, we're not going to go any further here with this age thing, all right? But the fact of finding yourself into sales, though, probably was something you were naturally inclined to do.
I believe so. I actually was working for the state of Maryland at the time, and I was working, going to school at night, so I was working on my 2-year degree. And a lot of people that I interacted with said, you know, you really ought to go into sales. You're always influencing. You know, you love to do that. And so I sat down and I looked for brands. What kind of items would I want to sell? Because I didn't want to just go into sales to sell. Mm-hmm. And that's what I also recommend to other people. No matter what career you're going to go into, make sure you love the product. And that's what took me to Mars. And I'll never forget, I had my first interview on a Saturday, 4.5 hours.
Great.
And they asked me if I knew what the salespeople made. And I said, you know, actually, I don't, because it's a privately held company.
Yes,
you can't
right.
really research it. And they're like, well, then why do you want this job? And I told them the truth, because I love the products. I love the brands. And that kind of, I believe, opened the door.
In fact, I often tell people there are three things you should keep in mind to really let your career almost pull you forward as you have to push it. And that is, the first one is keep your hand on the product, which is what you're saying. In fact, the metaphor I use is, if anybody follows the racing world, is you never see post a race the pit crew do anything but keep their hand on that race car when they're moving it back to the pits. There's this strong connection and metaphor. So hand on the product, eye on the process, which I know we're going to get into, because
Absolutely.
You love Six Sigma, data-driven decision, and watching what's really making things move. So hand on the product, eye on the process, and then lastly, heart with the people, which, of course, again, both of our choices to become business advisors and
yes.
coaches, and now stand behind or next to leaders, but help them take the forward steps.
Absolutely. I believe that when you look at the product, the process, and the people, one of the things I look for also is, what is their philosophy? Excuse me. And the first principle of Mars was quality.
Mm-hmm.
And that resonated with me. Quality in everything you do, as an individual, with the product, and with the well-being of the company. And I stayed with them for all those years, because in 26 plus, almost 27 years, they never strayed from that principle. And so the other thing that I believe it's really important for companies is, it's just a word. It's not 5 pages, but it sent a very clear message about their expectations of what you were going to do with their products, their talent, and their resources.
And also how you then held and treasured the relationships you had with your customers, as well as your suppliers, that allowed you to serve those customers.
Absolutely. Number one, so once again, sometimes when companies are working on, what do you want to communicate to everybody who works with you and for you, find a word.
Mm-hmm.
And if that word resonates, people can get behind it. It doesn't have to be a dissertation. It can be just the power of, here's my principle.
And that really carries forward then into the brand, whatever the name is.
Correct. Yeah.
That's really a foundation, as I'm sure you found, you know, stepping in to take over Ethelem. I mean, it's a small business within the larger context of Mars, and kind of, you know, a different satellite, high-end chocolates, mail-order catalogs, as I recall. So when you were given that opportunity, was there any hesitation in your mind that, this is taking me into, you know, one of the outer orbits? Or was this, I want to go in the outer orbit, I'll have more freedom? Or how did that come about?
Well, that's an interesting question. Even though I hadn't, you know, really made my mind up earlier in my career about eventually running a business until, let's say, the last 5 to 8 years, I had always had a passion for Ethel M chocolates because Ethel M stands for Ethel Mars. And so when one of the owners, Far Sr., retired, he went and opened the business in the Mojave Desert outside of Vegas and named it after his mother.
His mother, yeah.
And so I had a passion for that business for a long time, and I'd been kind of letting people know, you know, if that ever comes open, I would be interested in it. So I really had a plan. I worked very hard. I got my MBA after I'd been with the company for quite a while, so I could demonstrate to myself as well as the business, I'm a learner. I want to always improve. Give me a shot at this business. And they called me on a Thursday in October of 1999 and said, here's your shot. And I was there on Monday. So I didn't have a moment hesitation. I still love the brand. It's the running a retail business in Vegas has a whole different set of stories.
Oh, yeah, bad.
But, you know, we had so many things going on, two manufacturing plants, the retail stores, and just unbelievable history. And in Vegas, Ethel M. had a very high profile. And so while I was there, we also developed a program called Feed Your Mind. And we gave books to schools and to children to encourage a love of reading. So it really was very much a part of the community, which is another Mars philosophy.
Well, and I think for any of us, as you hear, you know, on our show here, we have several conversations around shifting sectors and nonprofit connectivity. And I think particularly for the younger generation coming into the workforce, that values-based element is so important. And heaven only knows with the way things have globalized, the necessity of still keeping a local perspective and giving back is so important.
Absolutely. You know, we hire in those communities, we live in those communities, and we need to give back and contribute to those communities.
That's a lovely thought. Well, Lynn, so now tell us about the Arizona Consulting and Coaching Center and your business advising philosophies.
Okay, one of the things that we really try to bring to our business advisement is an objective kind of outside view. One of the things that happens when you become a CEO or even a senior leader of the business, they say you kind of become like a mushroom. You're
so
a little
true.
Bit in the dark. And so people want to tell you things often. They want to take care of them, but they want to keep you happy. And maybe the word better would be inclusive, so that you're allowed to solve things before all of a sudden there might be a mistake or the issue's bigger than it has to be, and it's caused that person a lot of conflict. So business advisement is really that objective outside view. It's a little different than consulting because it might be something as basic as, I can think of one example where a senior leader came and said, I've got great talent, I can't get them to work together. And I looked at him and said, you know, look at it like a football team. All right. If everybody needs to know the role they have on the team and who the quarterback is, maybe everybody's trying to be the quarterback.
Quarterback, exactly.
And so he just looked at me and said, got it. Thank you. Because I was outside that group. So I didn't have a vested interest to say, and oh, by the way, I want to be the quarterback. And a month later, he put a senior person to kind of head it up. He put the quarterback in.
Yes, and many times within the spirit of team playing, we don't think we need to differentiate roles or you expect people. But regardless of what level you are in the organization, still people want to know what they can own, what they contribute, and also how it interfaces with their colleagues.
Correct. And, you know, I agree with that 100%. I would add to it, the stronger the players, the more you may want to make sure that they know, okay, so you're blocking in this particular situation, or, you know, you're running the ball, but every role is important, so that if you're not careful, divisiveness can come in an organization as maybe the competition gets maybe a little too fierce, and I've seen that happen. So just having clear role definition and how we're going to work and play on a team, we believe many times, I've done it, that it's very clear.
It's not
to everybody.
At all, no.
So if I critiqued myself as a new CEO, I would say I would have benefited by having a business advisor there who could say, you know, Lynn, just some things for you to think about, or somebody I could bounce ideas off of who didn't have a vested interest in that decision.
And that's where the difficult part is many times we think we can turn to internal people, individuals we've selected or who have come to us, but there is that vesting wall either way.
Yeah.
Well, I mentioned in the introduction too, Lynn, that you've invested in your own ongoing learning, as you mentioned, and became a Six Sigma Green Belt. Of course, the idea here being that you could apply the manufacturing or technical data-driven nature of things to help make sound business decisions. And I know you're a strong proponent of that possibility for leaders who may not have grown up in those movements here in the last 20 years.
If I could do something, once again, hindsight, right, over, I would have gotten my Six Sigma Green Belt when I was the CEO, the president of Ethel M. And the reason for that is another principle of Mars is efficiency. Mm-hmm. And so in any organization, in any business, the more efficient you can become, the more productive your business becomes, both financially and with regard to talent. And I had two manufacturing facilities. So while I had grown up around watching candy being made and been in the plants a lot, it's the discipline that comes with that quality mentality and the process, that view that you take of any situation. So many times when we're presidents, people come to say, I need more resources. I need more people. And I used to joke, as soon as a salesperson came in, I said, wait a minute, let me guess.
That's right.
And he'd start laughing. He'd go, yeah, I need more people. But if we looked at the processes, many times people are staffing up around inefficient business operations or processes. And so that's, I believe, is when companies see their costs start to get out of control, where if we step back and just took the discipline of, you know, defining it, measuring it, you know, analyzing it, then controlling those costs, put the improvement in and then controlling the process, they could get a lot more efficiency and much more productivity.
One of my close clients that I work with, who grew up in a quality engineering background as I did, he's now chairman and CEO of a large company. His constant mantra was always, in God we trust, everyone else needs to bring data.
That's right.
And I'm telling you, he drove that home on nearly absolutely every element, not hand waving. But we have to still be careful, though, because you can generate more data than you possibly know what to deal with until you take it from data to information to knowledge. Can then right. You take action on it.
Right. And the other side of it is that you have to make sure you're asking the right questions.
Precisely.
You're getting the right information. Right. But I would still come back and say that it will keep us from taking that knee-jerk reaction or making that quick call, which we're paid to do when we run a business. Mm-hmm. Make a quick good call, and puts more objectivity in the decision-making. So rather than me presenting my point of view, counter perhaps to another point of view, it allows us to say, but what does this show us? What does the data show? And where can we put some efficiencies in? And I believe you get a lot more productivity out of people, and it keeps you out of a cycle of staffing up around inefficiencies.
And then crashing it back down.
And then
circumstances start taking the water level down, you really start seeing where the rocks are at the bottom of
Correct.
The river.
Absolutely.
Well, I think the other piece we want to be cautious of is that sometimes, though, some of this data gathering, people still keep looking in the rearview mirror with it. So also to turn the data to be predictive
yes.
is really the nuance. So do you know how to turn things on and turn things off so you can predict the whole outcome and the result of your actions?
Absolutely. There has to be a start and an end so that you begin to put in and test some of your hypotheses and some of your plans for the process. I believe that any work in that area without the vision probably is not as effective, because the first thing that has to go in is, where do you want to go?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you want to be? Where do you make your money? What kind of talent do you need? And even though that sounds like a no-brainer,
yeah.
It's the discipline. It's putting the discipline in the organization that says, you know what, you have to do this up front. It may not be the most fun, but longer term, it's the most productive. And it really helps to launch any initiative. So a lot of times you hear people say, well, I understand what the products are. I understand what the business, where are we going? And how will I know when I get there? So it's really, I believe, it runs parallel. So I'm always working on processes and refining, and I don't believe that's a project. I believe that's a mentality.
It's a lifestyle, yes.
Exactly.
Or a life and work style.
And then on this side, is that supportive of the vision and where we want to wind up?
Because I think in absence of doing that, you see organizations, whether it be our community-based organizations, even our families, let alone our companies, think that because we're doing activities, we're getting somewhere. But unless you're really focused on the results, you will not know if your performance is going to get you there. Back
Absolutely.
To your sports metaphor, it's very clear the goal is to get the ball down the field, you know, and across the line.
Right. You can run up and down the field all day, but the intent is to score.
Is to score.
That's
indeed.
Right. And so sometimes we're running up and down the field.
That's right. Well, Lynn, how could individuals get a hold of you in terms of business advising and consulting and coaching opportunities?
Okay. We have a website. It's www.azc3.com.
So that stands for Arizona Consulting
and Coaching and Consulting
Center. Yes, yeah. Very good.
So it's azc3.com. And they can also reach me via email, which is lmoran.azc3 lynnsmith@gmail.com.
Very good. Well, thanks for joining us, Lynn. We'll look forward to watching the progress that continues to unfold as you reach out and help clients in this whole change space.
Thank you. I enjoy the conversation.
You bet. Stay with us here on Circles of Change on our 4th of July weekend. We'll be right back here on 104.1 The Truth, Tucson News Talk FM. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.